Okay.
So we are holding on Ein Vorwurf mit Aleph, fifth line from the top.
We discussed yesterday that there's a certain similarity between a man's relatives and his wife's relatives. We said that just as he's also to have relations with his wife's daughter or granddaughter, so also he's also to have relations with his own daughter or granddaughter, even if it's not, even for example, if their mother was an anusa, so she was never married to him in the first place, but because they're his daughters or granddaughters, nevertheless, they're also. So that brought us into a discussion. In that case, why don't we say there's a similarity also between just as you're also to have relations with your mother's, with your wife's mother or grandmother, you should also be also to have relations with your own grandmother, when in fact, midaraisa, it's mutter to have relations with your own grandmother, only midrabanan is it also. As we said, Abaya had said, Abaya had said we have a mirror for the process, imchahi, and Rava gave us a long explanation that the mechanism of the way Kavachom, the way Gzeira Shava works, whether we say Dun we know and we know, whether we say Dun we know, but Ukiva Astra, it doesn't make it possible to learn such a thing.
But either way, if you try it in either way, and within each of the possibilities, whether Skila is stronger or Strafer is stronger, it's still not going to work out. You're still going to have some kind of inconsistency that would cause us to not apply the Gzeira Shava.
And therefore,
he doesn't need a process for it, but yeah. So now we're going to talk about a related concept. If you're going to say that there's a similarity between his relatives and hers, then by the same logic, we should say, Mahu kalose asura api kalose asura.
We should say, just as a man is not allowed to have relations with his daughter-in-law, and this is obviously talking about after his son has died, so she's no longer his son's wife, she's still also to him, and she's still also to him, and there would be a chiyuv skila involved. You should say, by that logic, Afi Kalos Asura, the same thing you would say, again, on a Daraisa level, that his wife's daughter-in-law should be offered to him. In other words, if he and his wife should be the same. So again, if his wife has a son from a previous relationship, and he marries a woman, that woman should be also to you, should be also to you, because this is your wife's daughter-in-law, and just as your daughter-in-law is also in a Chayiv Skila, so should her daughter-in-law be also. So why don't you say that? So, well, it's not correct. Midaraisa, it's certainly not. And I think actually even Midrabanan, I don't think it's also, I don't think it's one of the Shnias Midrabanan. Your stepson's wife, I don't think is one of the Shnias. Anyway, so why not? Amar Abaya, Amar Kra, because again, you have a miut. The pasuk says, Eishas bin Chahi. The pasuk says, don't have relations with your daughter-in-law. She is your wife's son. Implying, Mishram Eishas bin Chahat Mechaiva. You can only Mechaiv him if it's his son's, only if it's his own son's wife. Viat Mechaiva, Mishram Eishas bin Chahat. You can't be Mechaiv him if it's only her son's wife. So it's a miut, again. Rava Amar, and again, Rava says, similar argument as we said yesterday, that you don't need a miut anyway because the Gzeira Shava cannot be made to work to make such a thing happen. Bain Lamanda Omar we're gonna find an inconsistency regardless how we learn how Gzeira Shava works. Where we're not involved with Allah. Bain Lamanda Omar Dun Mino Mina. Whether we say that when you make a Gzeira Shava, you keep on learning via the Gzeira Shava, you learn not only the actual din that is mentioned explicitly in the Pasuk in the first case, but you learn as many other possible details as you can from it. Or whether we say that you only learn the one thing that is explicitly mentioned in the Pasuk in the one case. Other than that, you leave the other dinim that apply to the one you're bringing the Gzeira Shava to, you leave them as they were. Either way, loy astia, either way, you're not going to have it happen. You're not going to be able to make such a Gzeira Shava to make such a thing happen. Lamanda Alma Dun Mino Mina. Let's start according to the possibility that we say Dun Mino Mina, that you say that you learn the Gzeira Shava. The Gzeira Shava teaches you the thing that it says explicitly in one pasuk applies to the other one, and also things that it doesn't explicitly say in that first pasuk, but other dinim that apply to that first case are also going to apply to the second case. So we'd start out like this. We'd start out by saying, Mahi kalos asura, afinami kalos asura. You would start by applying the Gzeira Shava of Zima Zima to say that just as to say that just as his daughter-in-law is also to him, so her daughter-in-law is also to him. But then we would continue, umina, then we would say, okay, then you have to learn a further thing from one case to another. Mahu biskila apinam biskila. You would say just as if he were to have relations with his own daughter-in-law, they would be chayv skila. So also you're going to argue that if he were to have relations with her daughter-in-law, it would be skila. The problem with that is we can't make that work. Lamanda on the skila chamura, according to the opinion of the chachamim, that skila is the more serious punishment, ikal mifrach, then you could slog up that gzera shava. You could say malahu shekein ima b'skila. Means you could slog it up. You could show that's inconsistent. Malahu shekein ima b'skila. What are you comparing from him? Where if he has relations with his mother, he gets skila. How can you compare it to the case of where if he has relations with his wife's mother instead of strefa, which is a lesser punishment? So you could argue because by his own mother the Torah is machmer on him and gives him skila, therefore the Torah is also machmer on his own daughter-in-law and gives him a penalty also. Lavdavki, you should say by his mother-in-law, where there's a lesser punishment, strefa, not necessarily. Maybe the Torah doesn't mean to after his wife's daughter-in-law to him. That's a skila is stronger than strefa. And also, you would have an inconsistency because bitter betrayal of a colossal skila. What would be the logic? You would say if you have relations with your wife's daughter, then you're chayv strefa. If you have relations with your wife's daughter-in-law, you should have a harsher punishment skila. What's the logic? So like my answer is right back. So what's the problem? So you have the same kind of situation with him himself, with his own daughter versus daughter-in-law. The bitter betrayal of a colossal skila. The same thing with a man's own daughter and daughter-in-law. Yes, the penalty for a daughter-in-law is skila, which is stronger than the penalty for a daughter, which is strefa. So fine, you have the same inconsistency with him, so that's not a big deal that you'd have that inconsistency between daughter and daughter-in-law on the wife's side.
If it exists with your own.
Yes. Ella, no. So fine, we're not going to use that argument, but we're going to say, mahu lechilakta bei ben imo lekalosai, just as with his relatives, you're saying there's no distinction between his mother and his daughter-in-law, both of them he's chayv skila. The same way, if you're going to say that both his wife's mother and his wife's daughter-in-law are both osir to him, you should say they're going to be osir on the same level and with the same penalty. They're both going to have to be strefa. But we're arguing that we're going to use the gzeder shava to say that the same skila that applies to his daughter-in-law is going to apply to her daughter-in-law. But if that's the case, you have an inconsistency. His wife's mother, strefa. His wife's daughter-in-law, skila.
We're ultimately trying to learn from doing that. Yeah.
Rava is trying to say that because whether we say Dunmi Naomi Na or whether we say Dunmi Nova Uki Ba'astra, either way, we cannot use this Gzeda Shava to learn this idea that his wife's daughter-in-law should be also to him.
That his wife's daughter-in-law,
meaning if his wife had a son from a different relationship. That and then his wife should be also to you.
What were we learning on that page? Same thing?
No, we were talking about the other way around. There we were talking about that. How do we know if your wife's grandmother, if your wife's grandmother is also to you, why isn't your own grandmother also to you, darling?
Oh, yeah, right. Now this time we're learning.
Now we're talking about daughters-in-law, yeah.
Okay, so if your wife, if your daughter-in-law.
If your daughter-in-law is chayv skila, then you would argue that you're going to argue that your daughter-in-law is also to you and it's chayv misa. So your wife's daughter-in-law should also be also to you and chayv misa.
Meaning from a different marriage.
Yeah, right. But then you would have to say, dun mino mino, would say they're both chayv skila. The problem with that is so far we have two problems with that. One is that there's a distinction between his mother versus her mother. You see already there's a distinction between his relatives and her relative, his own mother, he's chayv skila, his wife's mother, if he were to be mezana with her, they'd be chayv strefa. So already there's an inconsistency over there. And his mother, in other words, is stronger, skila is stronger than strefa, so maybe there's more reason to ask of his daughter-in-law.
Not the same punishment.
Right. And second of all, also, you wouldn't have the same punishment between his mother, but you'd have the same punishment on this side between his mother and his daughter-in-law, but you'd have different punishments on that side between her mother and her daughter-in-law, because he's strefa versus skila. That's inconsistent.
Now, the people that say dun mina mina, do they, when we slug up the use of dun mina mina in this Gzera Shava, does that mean that we have done it globally?
It means that in this particular case, because this opinion holds that in general with Gzera Shava is dun mina mina, then they won't be able to make this Gzera Shava work. Gzera Shava can only work if you can make it work according to the opinion dun mina mina, only if you can make dun mina mina work with it. The same thing if you said Drunminava or Pibastra. Here we're going to see that it can't be made to work according to either one of them.
Right.
Therefore, we don't have their job.
Drunminava,
yeah.
What does Uki mean?
Uki means place. It means establish it.
Drunminava,
make a derivation, right? Ukibastra, but keep it in its place. Other than the particular detail that you're bringing from one to the other, keep all the other dinim the same.
Keep it in its place, right?
Okay. Fine. So that's all. If we say Drunminava, and we say that Skila is stronger than Srefa. All the mandramas Srefa Chamura, and if you say the opinion that Srefa is stronger than Skila, fine, Mahai Kushal and Yudonian, fine. The first question about the inconsistency between the two mothers won't work, because Abu Dhabi, you can argue your own mother is less of a serious punishment than your mother-in-law. Skila is less of a serious. No, but you would say the first argument doesn't work then, because Skila is less than Srefa if you say that. So therefore,
right.
You say, fine,
well,
Madach, your mother-in-law, you're chayev, for her granddaughter-in-law, namely your daughter-in-law, then how much more so by your mother-in-law with a Srefa, and you're going to say Srefa, it's stronger than Skila, how much more so that her granddaughter-in-law should be also to you as well. However, so fine, you can't use that first argument, but you can still use the second one that you're still going to have, that you need to have the mother versus the daughter, versus her granddaughter-in-law, your daughter-in-law has to be the same on both sides. It's Skila here and Skila here. It can't be Srefa here and Skila here. So regardless
the
whether
mother and the daughter-in-law,
the mother of your wife and the daughter-in-law of your wife, the mother of your wife is Srefa, as we established yesterday. The daughter-in-law of your wife, you would argue on the basis of Drunmino Mina, you would argue should get Skila. That's inconsistent with the way it is on your side of the family, with Skila
for both.
So therefore, if we say Drunmino Mina, then that Zeta Shava cannot be made to work to make you chayev for your wife's daughter-in-law. Okay, so we're on the fourth line of the wide lines. Ulaman Dama Dunminova Ukibas. So how about according to the opinion and in general with Xeta Shava, the Xeta Shava always works Dunminova Ukibas. Learn out the particular thing that it says in one place, learn to the other. Keep everything else the same by the target.
Now we just put Dunminova Dunminova.
We just did Dunminova Dunminova. We said that doesn't work.
Right.
We said that we can't make that Xeta Shava work
it's
according
like
to that opinion.
Mina, Omina,
versus
everything.
Versus Dunminava Ukibastra, then we're going to start out like this. You're going to start, the din would be, the Dunmina would be Mahu Kalos Asura, Afi Kalos Asura. Fine, you're going to start with the same argument that just like his daughter-in-law is also to him, so her daughter-in-law is also to him. Vu Ukibastra, but you would leave the target, namely his wife's daughter-in-law, with its original din, namely it would have the same dinim as his wife's other relatives, Mahu, So you would say, by his own daughter-in-law, fine, Skila. By the target, which is by the source, it would be Skila. By the target, which is his wife's daughter-in-law, you would say it would be Srefa, like it is by all the other wife's relatives. Let's see if we can make that work. Again, Lamanda Amas Skila Chamura, if you say that Skila is harsher than Srefa, Ikala Bifrach, then you can slug that up. Ma Lahush Ken Ima Biskila. Again, how can you compare the case? How can you compare from his case where his own mother is a chiyuv skila, toma b'hi she'ima b'strefa? How can you derive from there to the case of his wife's family where strefa is involved and strefa is less than skila? So there again, you would argue because his mother is chayev is ostered by strefa by skila to him. Therefore, the Torah is also machmir and says his daughter-in-law is also ostered to him. By his wife's mother, where it's a lesser punishment, only strefa, you can argue maybe the Torah is not machmir on the daughter-in-law. Maybe they shouldn't be also in the first place. You don't have a source to say that it's also in the first place.
What do we learn the punishment from?
We would say the punishment would be the same as it is by all the other wife's relatives.
Keep it in its place.
We know
there's only two
Srefas,
so it can't be
Srefas,
it's Skila.
No. Okay, it would mean we're going to say because we have a Xeta Shava between his relatives and her relatives, therefore we're going to say whatever relatives on his side are also to him, the corresponding relatives on his wife's side are also to him. However, we would say Drunminava Ukibastra would say, however, you only learn the fact that it's also, you don't learn the method of punishment.
Right.
The method of punishment would be on his side, the close relative, most of the close relatives involve Skila, such as the mother and the daughter-in-law. On her side, the mother involves Srefa. The daughter-in-law presumably would involve Srefa as well. That's Drunminava Ukibastra.
Right.
But if we say that, again...
Just the punishment.
Keep
it on its side.
Keep it on its
Srefa,
side.
Because Srefa is already on the side.
Because already Srefa is already on that side with his wife.
On this side. But we know that there is no sreifa on that side because of the Mishnah.
The Mishnah, we're out of the Mishnah now.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to figure out. The Mishnah listed for us nine relatives. The Mishnah listed for us nine relatives, of which a bunch of them are on his wife's side. Three of them were on his side, his daughter, his daughter's daughter, and a son's daughter. All the other six were on his wife's side. How do we know not to add a seventh? How do we know not to add a seventh? His wife's daughter-in-law. That's the point. So we're saying like this. If you say Jun mi no mi na, then we said we can't make it work because then you're gonna find a way to slug it up. You're gonna find there's an inconsistency between where you're learning from and where you're learning to. You can't say skill on one side and skill on the other side because you're gonna end up with some kind of inconsistency. Now what about Jun mi no ba uki basra? Again, same problem. If you say skila is more serious than sreifa, then again, you could argue his mother is chayev skila, his wife's mother is only chayev sreifa. So you would argue, when it comes to his mother where the Torah is machmir and gives skila for it, the maximum punishment, then you would say, okay, the Torah also goes and asks his daughter-in-law to him as well and makes her chayev skila. You can't say, therefore, that if the Torah is makel by his wife's mother, where it's only sreifa, maybe, therefore, the Torah doesn't want to ask his wife's daughter-in-law at all.
It's
we don't have a source.
Someone's blood of this whole stuff.
Furthermore, you can slug up in another way. Mahu chilaktabai ben bitila kalosai. Just as we know on his side, there's a distinction between his daughter and his daughter-in-law. His daughter is sreifa. His daughter-in-law is skila. Apitak like ben bitila kalosai. You should say on her side also, there ought to be a difference between her daughter and her daughter-in-law. Her daughter is chayv sreifa. We shouldn't say that the daughter-in-law should also be sreifa. Then it would be different on the two sides.
On his side,
you have daughter and sreifa, daughter.
Treated the same.
Right. So why should they be treated the same on her side? Ulamanda omas nami sreifa chamura. And even according to the opinion that sreifa is more serious, mehay kushal oinidonin, then fine. Based on that, you can't use the first argument because you could say adadaba your wife's relatives is harsher than your mother. Your wife's relatives with sreifa is harsher than your mother and your daughter-in-law which is skila. But you still have the second argument. How can it be your daughter and your daughter-in-law have different punishments? Why should it be your wife's daughter versus your wife's daughter-in-law should have the same punishment? So it doesn't work. So that's it. We don't have a source. Rava says we don't need a bias limud from Aishas bin Tahi. You have just the very fact of the way Xeder Shava works, regardless according to the opinion Dun Mi No Mi Na, or regardless according to the opinion Dun Mi Na but Uki Basra. Either way, it can't be made to work to make that his wife's daughter-in-law should be also to him. And in fact, she's not.
Right.
Not Daraisa, and I'm pretty sure not Darabani. The Mishnah didn't mention it. The Mishnah didn't mention his wife's daughter-in-law. So therefore, we're left with only six relatives on his wife's side. His wife, her mother, what do we have? His wife is with herself, but not also to him. So let me, we have his wife's mother, his wife's grandmother on either side, mother's mother or father's mother, his wife's daughter, and his wife's granddaughter, and again, son's daughter or daughter's daughter, those are six relatives on his wife's side. And then we have three relatives on his wife's grandmother of either kind, his wife's daughter, and his wife's granddaughter of either kind. So that's six. And then you have three on his side, his own mother, his own daughter, and his own granddaughter. That's nine. Actually, no, we did not his mother. His mother is Skila. That's in a different category. The three that are straight on his side are his daughter, his son's daughter, and his daughter's daughter. So that's it.
All of this just to show that
fine.
You don't need a sword.
Okay. Now we got to ask another question. Bitta manus sauce minayim. Okay. Now let's get back to it. So that's definitive. So that's it. There's no source. According to Abaye, you have an explicit source in the pasuk, Eshes bin Chayi, to say that your wife's daughter-in-law is not also to you. According to Rava, the whole derivation that we just said, the whole logical thing that we just said, makes that you don't have a source for it.
It's obvious.
Thank you. Okay. Fine. Bitta manus sauce minayim. Next. Let's figure out like this. How about your daughter, if she's a daughter from an anusa? So obviously, if she's your wife's daughter, we already established from the psukim that she's also to you. Your own daughter, if you never married her mother, you raped her mother, whatever, she's your biological daughter, but you were never married to her mother. The Torah never says in so many words that you're not allowed to have relations with her. So how do we know that you're taka punishable by sreifa for it? For your own daughter, but not where she's not your daughter from a marriage. She's only your daughter from a rape or whatever.
Or could it be your daughter and then you were converting
No, no, that's a different matter. If it's conversion, then no, then midaraisa is allowed. But Rabbanon, we say that in certain cases you shouldn't, because you shouldn't have kedusha chamura, that we came from kedusha chamura to kedusha chamura. We're talking about
your own, I remember that.
Your own daughter. So a man raped a woman. She had a daughter. So a man raped a woman. She has a daughter. That daughter, we know, is also to him. And the Mishnah told us that his daughter, if he has relations with her, is chayav
sreifa. After he marries that woman.
No, even if he never married the woman.
No, that's
because she's his biological daughter. The question is where? The Torah never says in so many words, do not have relations with your daughter.
We know what we're looking for where.
The answer is, Ha'omer Abaye, didn't Abaye say Kavachomer? You have a simple Kavachomer. Al-Bach Bitoi Onur, Shmadach, you're punishable for your daughter's daughter. Al-Bitoi Le'koshkein, how much more so for your daughter? The problem is, you can't punish somebody based on a kavachomer, as we've established many times. By the way, besides all the reasons that we've given before why you can't, that a kavachomer is something that could already be schlugged up or whatever, Marsha earlier gives a different reason for it, because you never know. Maybe Abba, the lesser thing is something that the Torah says, fine, you can give him the guy Mrs. Bastin, and that'll be mechapa for him. Maybe the harsher thing, Mrs. Bastin, is not enough to be mechapa for him. Mm-hmm. Abba, you could argue maybe your daughter's daughter is a less serious offense, therefore the Torah said, than your daughter. Therefore, the Torah says, fine, you'll get Sreifa, and that'll be Machaper. Maybe your daughter is such a serious offense that even Sreifa, even Skila, even whatever, is not going to be enough. So you can't do that. The answer is Galuya Milta Baum. Abaya would answer, it's not really a Kabbalah claimer. You're being megala. All you're doing is you're informing us of a fact that should already be obvious. You don't even need a kavachomer, because the point is, in other words, your daughter's daughter. How is she your relative? Through your daughter. So if your daughter's daughter is author, it's not even a kavachomer. It's not even a kavachomer. It's a basic statement of fact. Therefore, that the closer relative, the daughter, has to be author as well. Oinshin min adin, Rashi gives an example. Oinshin min adin, Rashi gives an example. Let's say, for example, we know the Torah says you're not allowed to have relations with your sister if she's if she's your sister either way, from your father or from your mother. You would want to argue. Let's say, what if she's your full sister? That she's your mother's sister. She's your father's daughter and your mother's daughter. You would argue a kavachomer. That you can't do. Ain't oinshin min adin.
Well, that's the halacha.
The halacha is that she's takasa, but that's
wait,
a different.
Hold on.
There's a different source.
We're talking about the daughter of your father, the daughter of your mother.
The heir of your sister, the daughter of your father, or the daughter of your mother. How would you know that it's chayev if she's both the daughter of your father and of your mother, your full sister?
Like most sisters.
Yeah. You would argue a kavachomer. You can't do that. Ain't your inshim nadi.
But why is that a kavachomer in the previous question?
Because that would be a kavachomer, because each one is a different kind of relative. Your father, your daughter from your sister from your father, your sister from your mother are two different kinds of sisters. So therefore, you could have argued that maybe the Torah doesn't mean to ask the kind that's both. Only you have other psukim that imply, as the pasuk continues, achos chahi, she's your sister. So either way,
that tells you.
But in the case over here, the only way your daughter's daughter is your relative is through your daughter. So therefore, a buyer argues, not even a matter of a kavachomer. It's not a kavachomer. It's
just
giving you the balance. Okay. Rava Omer. Rava says, never mind that. We have the Zera Shava that we mentioned yesterday, by your own granddaughter, it says Hena, by your wife's relatives, by your wife's daughter and granddaughters, it says Shara Hena Zimari. So the Hena teaches us that your relatives are just like your wife's relatives in that sense. Therefore, just like with your wife, both her daughter and her granddaughters are also to you. So also with your own, your daughter and your granddaughters are both also to you. And then we learn that all of them are chayav sreifa, because you take the zima that it says by your wife's daughter or granddaughters, and the zima that it says by the punishment, be'eshus yikoy sevet, and lo'ishi zima b'sechem, and you say therefore the sreifa applies to all of them.
So on her side and on your side,
daughter and granddaughters are on the same level. They're all chayav sreifa. Fine. Now we have a third possible. Now we have something. So we have Tosafot too. We have Rava. We have Abaya that Gluya Milsav Alma. Once it says your granddaughter, automatically you know your daughter.
Gluya Milsav Alma.
vague concept.
Okay, but the bayah holds that you can say that. You know what? Usually in a machlokas between a bayah and rava, the halacha would usually be like rava. Over here, actually, the Rambam actually mentions in a number of places that Rambam uses similar to what Abaye says, that basically, since the Torah mentioned Bach Bito, he doesn't need to mention Bito. And the Rambam uses that concept in a few other places, that you have other things in other places in the Torah where the Torah does not mention something because once it mentions something else, that it's fairly obvious that it includes the first one as well. It's not even a Kavah Klamer, it's just a Geluyah Milsa Ba'alma. It's fairly obvious that the Torah didn't have to mention the second one because it didn't have to mention the first one because it already mentioned the second one.
It was fairly obvious that the earth was flat until it became round.
Okay, fine, but we're not
You
talking.
Know what I'm saying?
Okay, but nevertheless.
Fairly obvious doesn't mean true.
Okay,
it's a big difference.
Fine, but fairly obvious is if Bas Bitoy is your relative and she's only your relative to Bitoy, then that's how it works. Anyway, so Robert says you have the Kabbalah.
Well,
then
not fairly obvious. It's an intrinsic.
It's an intrinsic thing.
It's an intrinsic fact. Once you say the first, the second thing has to be true.
Why?
It's not a Kabbalah.
Why? That exactly so, the same way that the earth was flat.
Okay, never mind that. The earth is flat.
The earth is flat.
Is a question of fact. Is it flat or is it not? We're talking about over here, the Torah is telling you your daughter's daughter is also to you. How is she your daughter's daughter? Only through your daughter. Therefore, of necessity, it has to be that your daughter is also. Otherwise,
then,
why would her daughter...
In reverse, I have a question. Why the Torah talks about your granddaughter rather than...
Because then the Torah would have to mention both.
Yes.
And instead it doesn't. So therefore, the Torah can do it by saving words. The Torah can save words. That's what it is. The Torah is saving words. The Torah does not need to tell us something that we are expected to understand on our own with our own seichel.
We understand it.
That's what it
make
is.
It true.
Onward, but that's what it is. It's not just seichel and nushi. It's seichel that's used to understand the Torah, and therefore it's valid. Okay. Anyway, Tony Avod did above, and then the father of Avin taught a third way of learning this limud. Now let's consider it like this: the Torah never the. Okay, so you don't have any explicit pasuk in the Torah that says that Bitoy Manasasa would be also to him. That's, again, his daughter from a woman he raped. Therefore, Hutzrach HaKosav Loimu Basish Kayim. We have a pasuk that says that the daughter of a man was... That was a bayah. That was a bayah. Pay attention. Has a different way of learning. Because we don't have an explicit pasuk for it, therefore the Torah had to say, Ovach ish koyin. Therefore the Torah had to say the daughter of a man who was a koyin, who is Nizana, is chayiv straight. So why does it say ish? Why does it have to add the word ish? Means even if she's only the daughter of the ish, she's not the daughter of Ishto, she's not the daughter of his wife, because her mother was never married to him, never wait. However, then, if you're going to learn it that way, shouldn't you argue that just like with the Bas Koyin, we know there's a difference between her and the boil, she gets straight, for the boil does not, the boil gets chenet. Shouldn't you argue that it would mean then that if Bite Man is Sase, she should get straight, but he should get chenet, or skiller, or something else? Because we're learning it from that passage. Omar Abaya, Abaya answers, yes, but Omar Kurova, the pasuk continues, if Abiyah Hima Chalava, the pasuk continues, why does she get Tzrefa and he does not? Because this Bas Koyed is profaning her father. In other words, Mishma Chalava says Abiyah, only if she's being Machalav her father by being Mizana with somebody else. Yotzazusha Abiyah Machalava, as opposed to in this case, her father was the one being Machalav her by being Mizana with her, then that's not. So in other words, we would say like this, Uvatish Koyen would mean like this, that she's the daughter of a man who was a Koyen, and she was Mizana with her own father. However, since the Pasuk continues, that's a Bia Himachalala, that means to say, when do we apply the rule that only she gets straight and he doesn't? Only if it's some other third party who was Mizana with her, where therefore her father is kind of like an innocent victim in it, he's the one who was profaned, he's the one who was embarrassed by what his daughter did. As opposed to if he was the one who did it himself, then we would say they both get straight. That's where the father of Ovid learns. So we have three again. We have Abaya's Dilim Yosbalma, we have Rava's double Kabachim, Heina Heina Zima Zima, and we have Avod of Ovid Uvat Ishka. Rava Omar, but Rava says you can't. No, this isn't. Rava is saying I can't accept that understanding of Avod of Ovid. You Abaya are saying that you're going to understand. You're going to explain what he means. How we know that the punishment applies to both because of Sabiyahim Chalalos. Rava says you can't understand it that way.
Bischleimerhorst, and I can understand. I can understand when it comes to he the strafer, then Boyle the strafer, the reason why we take the Boyle out of the picture and give him a different punishment. Hossam, I picked him and didn't about to him, because all we're doing is we're taking him out of the punishment that would apply specifically to a Baskoyan strafer. Well, we'll keep that, didn't it about Yisrael? Fine, all you're doing is you're putting him back at the same thing that would have happened if he was in the Zana with a Bas Yisrael. He's still getting a punishment, he's still getting Chenech. He's just not getting strafer. Haha, but over here, if you're going to say that the Pasuk needs to, that the Pasuk needs to be Mamayat, that the Pasuk is trying to be Mamayat, that her father doesn't, that her father is going to get the same punishment as her, and what would you think otherwise? Haha, didn't demand Mokmas life. And if you didn't think that he gets the same punishment, so what would you think he does get? What other din could you apply to him? I didn't know your Mokmas life. What are you going to say? He gets the penalty that a man does for being Mazana with a Pinoya, where there's no penalty at all, because it's a lab, and mostly you get Malkas? Obviously not. So obviously you don't even need this influence to say, you don't even need the influence from Esav Yehima Chalava to say that he's going to get the same punishment as
her.
He has to get the same punishment as her, because otherwise there's no reason to think. According to the Rambam, Malchus, maybe Malchus, he holds that Bias Pnuya is an issue there, right?
Oh, right.
The Rambam, the Rambam, whatever. What it is like this. It's not that Rava is saying I disagree with Rav Ovin. I disagree with Rav Ovin Drosha. I do disagree with Rav Ovin Drosha. I have my own Drosha. Heina, heina, zima, zima. But this that Abaya, you want to understand Abaya Rav Ovin. You want to find for him. Why aren't you going to say that the father who's mezana with her gets a different punishment that she does because of the miut esaviyah himachalalas? You don't even need that miut. Similar to the two previous ones where Rava said you don't need a miut because you can see it logically. Because when it comes to a bas koyin shezinsa with somebody else, you have to say, what are you saying? That the boy will get a different punishment? Fine, but he gets a chiyuv misa. He still was mezana with an eishes ish. He's going to get some kind of punishment. Chenek means. But if you're talking about a father and a daughter, if the daughter is not married yet and she's a pnuya, and the only thing you're going to convict the father on is that it was his daughter, if you were going to think that the pasuk is implying that he gets a different punishment than her, you wouldn't have any punishment to give him at all. You can't say he would get any other punishment. You can't say you'd have to say he'd get the punishment for being mezana with a pnuya. And there is no chiyuv misa for that.
She was not chayav for the first party. He's not the chayav.
No, that was a bias. That was a bias understanding.
Right.
A bias understanding is the difference whether she is mechalal her father, in which case she gets one punishment and the boy gets a different one, or whether her father is mechalal her, in which case both of them get the same punishment. Rava says you don't need that mute. Because when it comes to a third party, fine, he's getting a different punishment than her. That's okay. At least he's getting a chiyuv misa. He's getting chenek instead of straight. Big deal. Mashenkin with the father, if he's mezana with his daughter, and his daughter is not married yet, then you wouldn't have any source to give him a punishment. If you're going to say that he gets a different punishment than his daughter, what punishment are you going to give him? You don't have anything else to give him. So therefore, and since obviously you're not going to let him off scot-free, then obviously it has to be that he gets the same punishment as her. So you don't need Esav Yehima Chalalos to tell us otherwise. Okay. Next we have to figure out like this. Okay, so now we've established according to one of these three ways that a man is mezana with his daughter, they get straight. We said again, Abaya learned it from Gili Milsa Alma. Rava said Rava had a double gzer. Shava Heina Heina Zima Zima. Abuad Rav Oven learned it from Uvafish Koyin. So now, okay, what about the Azhara? Azhara, we know that you can never have an onish without an Azhara. Where is the warning in the Torah not to be mezana with your daughter? Fishlam alabaya v'rava, so fair point. Abaya and Rava, it's easy. Mehecha the nachdalu onish, mehosam nachdalu azhara.
Right.
The same place they learn the onish, they can learn the azhara. Because according to Abaya, the same Gili Milsa Balma, if the Torah tells you that a man is mezana with his granddaughters, he gets safer. His granddaughters are only his granddaughter, his daughter's daughter is only his relative through his daughter, therefore automatically it has to be that his daughter is also chayiv strafer. According to Rava,
since
there's an azhara for his granddaughter and an azhara for his daughter, according to Rava, same thing, heina heina zima zima works for the azhara as well, because in fact the heina heina is by the azhara, it's in Parshas Aser, right? What about according to Avor Dereb Oven? Elul is funny, Avor Dereb Oven, but according to what Avor Dereb Oven taught, that we learned it from Uvafish Koyin, where there's no warning not to do it, it just says Ba'ish Tisari. So, Mai, what are you going to say according to him? Where do you learn the Azhara from?
because you have a different pasuk that says Al-Tahalo Bitkalaz Noisa. Another pasuk says, don't profane your daughter with Znus.
That's Azara.
That would be the Azara.
There you go.
So therefore it means don't be Mizana with your own daughter. Maskifor of Yaakov, Achur of Achaba Yaakov. So Rav Yaakov, the brother of Achaba Yaakov, which is interesting, I guess in that case it means he had the same name as his father. Must be the father passed away before Rav Yaakov was born.
Anyway.
You're telling me the words Al-Tahalas Vitzchalas Noisa come to teach us that din? We use that for a different language. When it says Al-Tahalas Vitzchalas Noisa, when it says don't profane your daughter to cause her to do znus, Yachol B'Koyin Amasiyas Vitzchalas Noisa, maybe the Torah is warning us, you a Koyin, where your daughter is a Bas Koyin, who's allowed to eat Truma, don't profane her from Korona by allowing her to marry a Levi or Yisrael, where then she's going to be possible from eating Truma. How do we know it doesn't mean that? And therefore the positive continues Laz Noisa. Therefore it has to continue Laz Noisa. If it only said Al-Tahalas Bitcho, it would mean a Kohen's daughter can't marry a Levi Yisrael. By adding Laz Noisa, the Chilul Shel Znus, Akos Medaber, that it means the Torah is talking about that profaning her through Znus, meaning the Moiser is Bitcho Shel Shemishus. In other words, it's talking about a case that man who gives over his daughter to somebody to have relations with Shel Shemishus. Now, the Rambam holds as a general thing, this is where you have a machlokes in the Rambam and most other Rishonim. The Rambam holds that to be with a penuria is also midaraita and is chayav malchus. So therefore, the Rambam takes this at face value. It means, in other words, if a man were to tell his daughter, even as a one-time thing, go ahead and have relations with this guy, that would be chayav malchus. It would be also under the al-tachalas bitchalaz noisa. Most other Rishonim don't understand it that way. They understand because that's what he says. He says that the Torah tells us a mitzvah that if you're going to be boil a woman, it has to be with the sugar of a kiddushin. And if not, then you're over. He holds that loisiyah kedesha means that you're not allowed to have relations outside of marriage, and it's also midaraisa. The Raiva, the Ramban, many other Rishonim disagree with the Rambam on that and say that if it's a one time thing, it's not or even for example, the Raiva talks about, let's say you could have like a common law marriage, like they shack up together. They agree that they're gonna be exclusive, boyfriend and girlfriend, but they don't marry. The Raiva would hold that's not an Isser D'oraisa. So therefore they would have to understand this that what the Gemara is saying over here is if you make a regular thing of it, if you make her that she's gonna be officially available to whoever wants her, basically. On an ongoing basis, that would be the issue. But if it's a one-time thing, before Matan Torah, the Rambam says you didn't need that. Before Matan Torah, you're allowed to have relations with a woman. You're allowed to have a Yehudah Tamar, for example. You're allowed to, and that's that. After Matan Torah, you need Ksuba Kedushin. Anyway. So that's what the pasuk is teaching us, that you're not allowed to do that. And by the way, the Rambam mentions an interesting thing in Hilchos Neir Bsula. So why does the Torah have to tell us that? The reason is because we know, for example, that a man is ma'anis a girl, a naira, then he has to naira psula, then he has to not marry also, then he has to pay the father of a certain amount, since he has chamishim shekel, chamishim kesef, whatever it is, if he's mafasa, same idea. So therefore, the Rambam says, you would think, therefore, a father has a reshus to say, okay, well, I'm owed X amount of money for it, fine. In that case, I'm entitled to say, instead, fine, I'll give her to you for free, or I'll give her to you and you'll pay me X amount, whatever. No, that's not allowed. Okay. Anyway, the point is, we learn that from the pasuk. How do you have the words al-tachalas bitchalas noisa available to teach us another din that if she is mizana, that you are not allowed to be mizana with your own daughter?
As an azara,
yeah. So you can't learn two azaras from the same pasuk. The answer is in kein lemakro al-tachel. In that case, this is similar to what we had before about tokel, same idea. Al-tachalas, it could have said al-tokel, which would also mean to profane. My al-tachalo, why does it say that? Two lamed shramina tarki. We can understand that it's talking about two different kinds of chilul. One involving where you make her available for znus with other people, and the other where you're mezana with her yourself.
Something would say al-tachalo.
If it only meant one or the other, it would say al-tachalo. Al-tachalo, or whatever. Since al-tachalo means both. Abaye and Rava, who don't need al-tachalas bitchalas noisa to teach us this azhara, because they learned the azhara from the same psukim where they learned the oinish. So what do they do with this pasuk? My abile. Amar Rabbi Mani says they would say that it means something else. That hamasiyas bitil zokin. Al-tachalas bitchalas noisa is talking about that the Torah is saying, do not marry off your daughter to an old man.
because Rashi says like this, she's not going to accept him. She's not going to be willing to marry, to stay married, to be married to him. It's under duress. Therefore, she's likely to go and be mizana. Now, with that said, by the way, there is this, for example, Sefer Siddim says on this, it only applies if she's not willing, if she herself wants to marry an old man. You don't say, hey. But there's a lot of discussion about it among the Rishonim and Achronim about the ins and outs of it. The Rabbi Yaakov Emden says the Zakin we're talking about over here might be not just that he's physically old, but he doesn't have the physical capabilities of Bia anymore. He doesn't have Koyach Geber. So therefore, in that case, she's not going to be satisfied with him, and he's likely to go up and be Mizana. If he's physically old, but he's still capable, he's still virile, not a problem. Okay, so anyway, you have a bit of discussion. The halacha is that it's best not to marry off your daughter to a man much older than her. But
the Rebbe said 10 years.
But the halacha, we're not saying we're not talking about something that is actually also as in the Bichir Malchus or whatever. It's a bad idea because it's likely to lead to znus. If it's a situation where it's not going to lead to znus, then fine. So you have to, it's a case by case thing. Rabbi Akiva, remember Rabbi Akiva says a different. Okay, Kibbutzani, as we learn in a brayse, al tachalas bitchalas noisa. Rabbi Eliezer, remember that Matthias bitchalazokin. The pasuk is referring to somebody who marries off his daughter to an old man. So the same. That's what we just said. Because then she'll be mizana. Rabbi Akiva, remember zehamasha bitchalbegeres. Rabbi Akiva says a different explanation. If he keeps around his daughter after she's a begeres, when she already wants to have relations, and now she's going to be mizana. If he keeps her around the house because he wants her to help around the house or whatever, rather than arranging to marry her off. Remember, in those days, most girls got married when they were naira. By the time she's a begeres, she's an old maid already in terms of those days.
You know, today?
No, begeres is 6 months after bat mitzvah. Come on. Amr of Kahana Mishum Rabbi Akiva. Ein l'cha onig
Yisrael.
Amr of Kahana Mishum Rabbi Akiva. Ein l'cha onig Yisrael el rosha arum. The only kind of poor people, the only kind of poor person you have among the Jewish people, we're going to see in a minute what this means, el rosha arum is only a crafty rosha, amasha bitte begeres, and one who keeps around his daughter after she's a begeres. Question is, what do you mean? Answer, amasha bitte begeres lav rosha arum. Isn't it the same thing? Crafty rosha is this kind of person who keeps around his daughter as a begeres. This way, she can still do work for him around the house, and he's a rosha because it causes that. Meanwhile, she has typhus. She's going
to keep her. She wants to get married. She can get married.
She could in principle, but usually it's expected that the father makes the shidduch. With that said,
he answers the phone when the shatchanis is calling.
However, I'll tell you actually, now that one second, the Iyun Yaakov mentions about it, he says, we can be talking about a case, and why are we calling him a crafty Rosha? Because what he does is he's makabel kiddushin for her when she's still tana, when he still has the ability to do that. So now she's already niskadish. Now she can't be married. She can't go out and find her own shidduch. She's already niskadish to this guy. But then he finds excuses to keep her around the house even after she's a begeret, rather than that she should already get married to her cousin, and this way he still has her to help around the house, okay. He's still entitled to mitziyot or whatever, that's what he's saying.
Someone who has his daughter living with him, she has the responsibility to get married herself.
The pashtus, we would say that not. The pashtus would say it's still the father is expected to make the shidduch on behalf of her. So it can also be like you were talking about like answering the phone or whatever. Yes, so Marshall says as well as things like this. What he does is, for example, he tricks her. He claims, for example, the reason I don't want you to get married yet is because I want to be able to get together a bigger nabin for you. I'm trying to raise the money to get together a bigger nabin for you. And really, why is he doing it? He wants people around the house for his own service around the house. That would be the Rosh Ha'arum that we're talking about. Okay. So that's the question. Also, Amasha Bita Begeres Lab Rosha Arum. Somebody who keeps around his daughter as a Begeres, isn't that the definition of a Rosha Arum? What are we saying? It's like two different things. Rosha Arum, Vreha Masha Bita Begeres. Is it like two different things? I'm going to buy it. What it means is there only Rosha Arum. We started by saying, Emacha Oni Yisrael. We're going to have a lot of poor people among the people. What is the definition of an Oni who is a Rosha Arum? Because the Tosafot says there are lots of kinds of Rosha Arum. But what is the specific Rosh Ha'arum means a crafty Rosha, like a person who acts in a sneaky way, who accomplishes what the rishus that he wants in a sneaky way. The Gemara gives a few examples of it in Sota, but which one of them is Dafka, somebody who's poor, would be Zahamasha Bita Begeris. This is when he keeps his daughter as a Begeris around so she can help around the house, because like he can't afford to hire household help. And therefore he works on keeping her around rather than just having her get married and move out. V'amar Rav Kahana.
He has to find a Rashidah.
Again, either he has to find a Rashidah, or more to the point, Maharshal is saying that what he does is he misleads her into thinking, I'm for your benefit, I'm trying to help you out, I'm trying to raise a nadin for you, that's why I think you'd be better not to get married yet. Or like the Iyun Yaakov says already, he was Mekadosh years ago, and already used the Kesef Kiddushin, and now he's a yes. V'amar Rav Kahana Mishum Rav Akiva. Be careful of somebody who advises you in a way where the advice stands to benefit him. And before I should say, that's the connection with the previous one. This father is advising his daughter, don't get married yet. And he makes it look like he's doing it for her benefit. And really, meanwhile, he's doing it for his own benefit. Be careful of that kind of advice.
It's not really his own benefit to keep his daughter without having grandchildren.
But it is, because he has help around the house. So therefore, that's the point.
We're talking about a real character here.
Yeah. He's not worried about grandchildren. He's not worried about having grandchildren. Or he has other children. He has other children who are married who will give him grandchildren. Be careful around somebody who gives you advice where the advice really is only to benefit himself. Don't take advice from him. Omer of Yehuda Omer Rab, Hamasiyas Bitil Zokin. We just talked before about the problem of marrying off of a man marrying off his daughter to a much older man. So somebody who does that, Hamasi Ishal of Neikoton, or vice versa, if somebody marries off a wife to his young son, where his son is not even old enough to actually do beer or anything like that yet, while his son is still young, he marries him off to a woman. So then the poor woman is there unsatisfied. Or somebody who returns a lost object to a guy. Now, what's the problem with that? Rashi says the problem with it is that then he's showing that the mitzvah of Ashavas Aveda is not particular. It's not a mitzvah of the Eivishter, because if it was, he would only do it for Jews, because only a Jew is a Yechayev to like this. He's just doing it because I feel like doing it. The Rambam has a different understanding of it, which is that Machzor Aveda Lekusi, the problem is, it's called Machzikin Yidei Oved Aveda. You're strengthening the hands of people who do Aveda. Like this, there, and the Marashah expands on it a little bit. Like this, you have Goyim are often out for Jewish money, and like this, you're making him desire it even more. Like, look at this, you're even returning him a lost object that by rights, by the laws of the land or whatever would have belonged to you, and you're going to. With that said, if we've talked about this before in Bava Kama and Bava Masia, if you're returning it in order to make a Kiddush Hashem, that's different. Then you have to return it.
Right.
Or if I can't. If you're doing it to make a Kiddush Hashem, then you should do it to make the Kiddush Hashem. If it will cause a Chilul Hashem not to return it, then you have to return it. For example, in olden times, we find in the Gemara that very often, in Bava Masia, for example, it mentions that in some places the custom was that lost objects go to the king's treasury. So it wasn't expected that you're going to return them to the person who lost them anyway. So then in that case, that's what the Gemara is talking about. In modern society, expected you find a lost object, you return it to the owner. So therefore, if there's any way that the goy might find out, might have a way of knowing that you, he had found it and did not return it to him, and therefore it'll cause a chilul Hashem, then you have to return it. Then you have to. The Be'er HaGoyim also wants to say that maybe there's a distinction nowadays that the goyim by and large believe in the Eivishter, then you're obligated by HaChila to return it. There's a lot of
that. There's that famous Orthodox Jew that found $100,000 in his chest that he bought from an antique store and he returned it to the owner.
Yeah. You have stories already in the Yerushalmi. You have the story of the Shimon and Shadrach returning a jewel to an Arab that he had bought. They had bought a donkey with a jewel around its neck and he returned it to the Arab and called the Kiddush Hashem. A few stories. Okay, all of our kotzavim are about these kinds of things. What it says, l'man toy harava tatsmeya, that this person is joining together the rava, the satisfied, the one who's satisfied and well slaked, as tatsmeya together with the thirsty one. Meaning, so Rashi understands like this: when you have your daughter is of marriageable age and you marry her off to an old man, so she is tsmeya, she wants tashmish. The husband is not capable of providing it, especially according to Yaakov Emden that we're talking about, that he probably doesn't have the koyach anymore. So therefore, it's inappropriate to join them together. When it's your young son and a wife, same problem in reverse. Same problem in reverse. She wants it. He's not. So the same problem actually. Yeah, she wants it. He's not capable of providing. Hamachta Veda Lakusi is who is the Rava and the Smeya. The Goyim are called Rava in the sense that they're satisfied. They have whatever they want. They don't feel. A thirst towards the Lakus, towards the Eibishter. A Jew is called Smeya, thirsty because a Yid naturally has a desire for mitzvahs and for Torah and for the Eibishter. So, and you're joining them together, and the pasuk continues. Well, Yoyva Hashem, Sloyach Loy. Hashem is not willing to forgive such a person.
Oh boy.
Hey, the Gemara says, Maisvi, I have a contradiction. What do you mean that's so bad to marry off your son when he's young? Another Braita says, Ha'oyev is Ishtek Gufay, somebody who loves his wife like himself. And he honors her, for example, by giving her nice clothes and jewelry even more than his own guf, meaning, in other words, he gives her nicer clothes than even he himself has. Somebody who raises, who educates kids in the right way, and he marries them off close to their parent, means shortly before they reach maturity. In other words, there's still a couple. Yes. All of our Kosovo, about such people, the Pasuk says, you will know that your tent, meaning your household, is at peace, and you'll keep an eye, you'll keep track of what's going on in your dwelling, and you won't sin. So we see it is a good thing to marry off your son when he's young. It's different when it's right before, it's different when it's shortly before they reach maturity. Then you're going to have, now she says, so fine, it's a year, or half a year, or whatever, that she's going to have to wait till he's old enough. Not such a big deal that she's likely to go be Mizana during that time. What we're talking about, you marry him off when he's 6, 7, 8 or whatever, it's going to be years before he's capable, then not. Another braita about the positive. Ha'oyev es shcheina, somebody who loves his neighbors and is friendly to them. Mamakarev es kleiva, somebody who brings close his relatives. In other words, he doesn't act like a stranger towards his relatives. He brings them close and tries to help them out. Ba'noseh es basa chosei, somebody who married his niece. Specifically, Basa Chose is his daughter, his sister's daughter. So there are different Mephoshim talk about why if it's his sister's daughter. Some of them say the same thing would apply to your brother's daughter. Because the point is, it's the closest relative that the Torah allows you to marry, and therefore there'll be a natural love between you. Some other Mephoshim say it means specifically your sister's daughter for a few different reasons. First of all, we know that children usually resemble the mother's brother. So therefore, if you marry your sister's daughter, it means
your children
are going to resemble you. Which is as it should be. So there's that. There's also the idea that if you marry your brother's daughter, then if should it happen that there has to be Yibum Mechalitza, then it's prevented from happening, as we look back in Yibamas. Whereas if you marry your sister's daughter, then you don't have that issue. Anyway, so the Amal Vaselal Ani Bashat Zaskay, a person who lends money to a poor person when he's desperate.
How much is a seller?
A seller, I don't know. Whatever, it doesn't mean specifically sell it.
$10,
$50. I don't know, whatever it is. All of our Kosovo, about such people, the positive
lends money to
who lends money to a poor person when he's desperate. No, it is right. Okay.
To lend
it, yeah, you have a...
Why you don't poor, need to sit up, though?
You should give, if the person doesn't want to accept
it. No, it's better to lend. It's a better mitzvah to lend.
What are you talking
you
about?
You can always say
afterwards,
because that way you preserve the guy's dignity, you can always say afterwards, after you lend it to him, eventually you'll say, I'm loyal to love. Like this, if you give it to him outright, he may not want to accept it. But like this, he's in a heart.
He's asking for it.
If he's asking for it, that's different. The point is, you're willing to lend him when he's having a hard time and he's going around looking for a loan and people are not willing to lend him and you go and lend him. All of us, about such a person. The pasuk says, "Oz tikra Hashem yamen." You will call out and the Eibishter will answer. These are all good things to do. Tosfos actually talks about there's a different Gemara elsewhere that says it's not a good thing to provide money to a poor person when he's desperate. And Tosfos makes a distinction. Let's say, for example, here we're talking about, let's say, the guy doesn't have enough for food. So you lend him money, then he's looking for a loan, and you lend him money so he can buy food. That's an excellent thing. What we're talking about over there in Chagiga is something else. Let's say, for example, the government is after him for taxes. So if he doesn't have any money, then the government will say, okay, look, you can't squeeze blood from a stone. Fine, we won't bother with you. Machine can all of a sudden, the guy has money, then they're going to take from him. So then you're leaving him off worse than he was before.
He's trying to go through bankruptcy.
Yes, and then you're preventing him. Yeah, exactly. You're preventing him from being able to. Okay.
He's trying to get on welfare.
By the way, there is an explanation that Hamal Vaselal Ani Bashat Zoskei means not that the poor person is in a desperate situation, but you're in a desperate situation. You yourself are having a hard time making parnassah, and you're still willing to go lend the poor person money.
That's all that can happen. Your call on the initial answer, you have a very high madriga that you yourself are willing to, you're willing to skimp a little bit more on your expenses, albeit you can lend money to a poor person. Okay. So now that takes care of that then. So we've established that the posik at the chalas bitchalas noisa, according to the father of Rav Ovin, teaches us there we learn the azhara that a man is not allowed to be mezana with his daughter. According to Abaye and Rava, we use it to learn that a man shouldn't marry off his daughter to an old man. And that brought us into this little piece of Agadka over here about what kind of marriages are good and aren't good. Getting back to now, We said that when the passage mentioned that a man has relations with a woman and her mother, actually you can't think of it, you know, the passage is we discussed this yesterday, but Aishis before it says the F10. The passage says we should burn with fire him and them.
That what?
And well, that's the question. What does it mean F10?
Them.
What does it mean them? Lechora, it can't be both. Lechora, well, Lechora, if we're talking about that he was married to a woman, Miriam, and then he was mezana with her mother, Yecheved, why should Miriam be chayav? So Miriam is his legitimate wife. So that's what we have to figure out. So this is the machlokes. Turn it up on him. Oisei ve'eshen, what does it mean, him and them? It means oisei ve'achas mehen divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says it means him and one of them. The one that was offered to him, in other words. So if it was the mutzah, it would be Yecheved in that case. And if it was the other way around, if he married Miriam and was mezana with her daughter, then it would be the daughter who would be chayav. Rabbi Akiva, I'm oisei ve'eshtei. And Rabbi Akiva says, no, it means him and both. So the question is, my benayu, what's the nafkamin between them? Obviously, Rabbi Akiva himself can't be saying it means both Miriam and Yecheved. Again, there's no reason Miriam should be chayim.
Rabbi Akiva has that kid.
Rabbi mashmos doshim ikke benayu. So Rabbi says there's not actually a machlokes between them. They're just arguing, what does the pasuk mean? Meaning, Rabbi Shmuel understands the situation in the pasuk to be that you're talking about Miriam and Yecheved. Rabbi Akiva understands the situation that both of them are offered to him, Yecheved and her mother. So not Miriam, it's true. Because we're talking about that a man is mezana with Es Isha, meaning Yecheved, the Es Ima, and her mother one generation back, his wife's mother and his wife's grandmother. And, of course, both of them are offered to him. So, yeah, both of them are going to be Chayav Nisa. So they're not actually Machlokas. Rabbi Akiva agrees that if one of them is Mutter to him, she's not Chayav Nisa. Rabbi Shmuel agrees that if both of them are offered to him, they're both Chayav Nisa. They're just arguing, what does the pasuk mean? But they both agree on the actual din. According to Abaye.
They complement each other.
Yeah. Rava Omer, Chamoitza L'acha Misa Ike Benayim. Rava says, no, there's an actual... Rabbi Akiva... I skipped the line. Rabbi Shmuel Sava Oitze V'Eshen means Oitze V'Achas Mehen. Rabbi Shmuel holds that Oitze V'Eshen means him and only one of them. Shekein V'Loshen Yivoni Koyin L'Achas Hena. Because in Greek, the word for one is Hena. Hena, whatever. Yeah, there's a couple of words in English that begin with N or whatever also that mean one. And by the way, we've talked about this before. The Shalach Kodesh says it's not that we're not taking a word from Greek and using it to darshan. The Torah is not written in Greek. The Torah is written in Lashon Kodesh. These are words, the same with these are words that were in Lashon Kodesh originally, but they became obsolete in Lashon Kodesh. They were preserved in other languages, and therefore the Chachamim are showing these words that are in other languages are really part of Hebrew after all.
Yeah.
The Shalach Kodesh says that.
The Shalach only says.
The Shalach would know this. Yeah. Which would mean, in other words, so where do we know that his mother-in-law's mother is also? That we would know from the Drasha that we learned before about the whole series of Zera Shavas and Drashas that we did before. So there's no actual machlokes between them. It's just what is the pasuk? What's the case the pasuk is talking about versus what is the case that we doubt in? Rabbi Akiva Sava Oisev Eshen, whereas Rabbi Akiva holds it means him and both of them. Oisev Eshen means him and both of them. Ve'em Chamoisa, Hocho Ksiva. So according to Rabbi Akiva, the Torah is explicitly saying that his mother-in-law's mother is also to him, whereas according to Rabbi Shmuel, you would only know that from a Drasha. So they agree on the actual dinim, they're just arguing on what the positive
way to get to
it. Yeah. Rava Amar, Chamoisa V'achamisa Ikabinai. Rava says, no, there is an actual Nachimina between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. An afkamina would be, what about, is his mother-in-law, is there a chiyuv misa for being mezana with his mother-in-law after his wife died? Rabbi Shmuel sava chamoisa l'acha misa b'sreifa. Rabbi Shmuel, who holds that eshen means one of them, means even if only one of them is still alive. So even if only the mother-in-law is still alive and the wife has already died, he's still chayv sreifa for his nus with her. Rabbi Akiva sama isura ba'amar. Rabbi Akiva, who says that you need both, he doesn't mean both of them a chayv misa. He means you need both of them to be alive for there to be a chiyuv misa.
If one of them is dead, if the wife is dead, then there's an iser. It's an iser lav for the mother-in-law, but not chayiv misa. The halacha is actually like that. Like Rava's understanding of Rabbi Akiva, that chamoitza v'achamisa is an iser lav, and according to some, you're showing him also chorus, but no skill, but no strip.
He'd
get midga malchus if there's eight in Basra. Yeah, but no strip. Yeah. Okay. So now we're done with the nisrafim. Now on to the next. The elu hanerogim, the following people get hereg. Horetzeach v'anshe yonidacha. Horetzeach. And the people of an Irni Dacha. So the Tzeach we're going to deal with here, and the rest of our Mishnah and the Gemara on it, and the next couple of Mishnahs. The Irni Dacha we're going to leave for the it's near the end of the Masechta, right? At the very end of the Masechta, the last couple of blocks we're going to talk about.
Skip it.
We're not going to talk about Irni Dacha now. We're going to deal with them later. I should tell you also, we're going to get to, when we get to the next paragraph, I'll explain, there's a difference between how you find the Mishnayos versus in the Gemara and among the Rishonim themselves. What is the order of the last two prophets of Sanhedrin? Uh-huh. This paragraph is talking about the Nitzurachim. The next paragraph talks about the Nechnafim. And then you have what we have in the Gemara as the 11th paragraph. Starts off with Kol Yisrael Yashem Tzayis Olam Haba, talks about the people who have and don't have a place in Olam Haba, and then finishes off with the dinim of the Irni Dacha. Is it Taka that's supposed to be the order, or is it supposed to be? In the Mishnayos, you have it the other way around. After the Perek, Elohim and Nisrafin, then you have Kol Yisrael Yashem Tzayis Olam Haba, then it deals at the end of that Perek with the Amshe Irni Dacha, which is the second one mentioned from our Mishnah, and then the Perek after that is Elohim and Achnokin is the people who get Chen, and the Masechta finishes with that. So we'll talk about when we get to there. That's the Shem. What the reason?
We've
for
got
the
a lot of stories coming up in Perak. Yeah.
Indeed. Okay.
You've got to come here. Retzeach
shehicha tre'eo be'evan o'be'baza. So if a retzeach hits somebody with a stone or a piece of metal, the kavash olav l'seich hamayim l'seich ha'ur, or he pressed down on him and he held him down in the water or in the fire. We made it obviously. Now any yochalal was nisham, and the person is not able to get out of there. Mess and he dies, chayev. Then the person is chayev mitzvah for that. By the way, a couple of the Aruch HaNer points out the Mishnah has mentioned things that are similar to all the other mitzvahs based in. He hit him with a stone, which is similar to skila.
Yeah.
He pressed him down into fire, which is similar to srefa.
Yeah.
And he pressed him down into water, and which is similar to chenet. And we're saying in all cases he gets headed. That's the point of that.
And now,
on the other hand.
Now, if he said, oh, it's shogeg, I didn't know you weren't allowed to kill someone.
Come on. On the other hand, what if you only pushed him into the water or into the fire? The yachalal was misham. The person would have been able to get out of there. Or mess, and in the end, he didn't get out of there, and he died. Potter than the person who threw him in.
Wow.
He's potter from mitzvah based in. The Eibishter will still deal with him, but he's potter from mitzvah based in because it wasn't a direct thing.
So they won't even put him in jail for a few years and get him.
Later on in the paragraph. Wait.
Okay.
What if he incited against him a dog to bite him or a snake? Potter, then he's also potter because the dog or the snake did it by itself. It was incited, but it did it by itself. On the other hand, he shichbayis anachas. What if he actually took the snake and actually put the fangs onto the person? Then Rabbi Yehuda machayev b'chacham and potter. Rabbi Yehuda says he's chayev. The chacham still say he's potter for reasons which we will discuss in the Gemara. Now, when the Torah and Parshas Matzeh go into long detail about all the various possibilities, all the different ways that a person might kill somebody else. Different things over there it mentions that he uses Evan Yod, he uses a stone that fits in his hand, the create Yod, a wooden tool that he holds in his hand, implying that if Evan Yod creates Yod, which implies there's a minimum size here. When it comes to Barzel, it doesn't say the word Yod, it just has been the three Barzel in code. So you hit him with a metal instrument. Why is that? Because when it comes to iron, you don't need a size. Even a small thing can kill. Rashi says, for example, let's say if you stick it into the person, you stick in even a needle, and it hits a vital organ, it'll kill the guy. Mashenkin was wood. So Tosfos asked the question, or by the same logic, you could say if you have a long wooden splinter or whatever, you could do the same thing. The Tosfos said, no, the difference is that iron or metal will also cause infection. So wood, it'll, wood will, not necessarily.
Iron is even moving, it's more likely. And catnip, for example, yeah, whatever. Well known that every single cool spoke in the world is dead,
that iron, even a small thing, can kill. Therefore, the Torah doesn't mention a shear, doesn't mention the word yod. And also, Rashi on the Pesukim mentions it also doesn't say, Asher Yomus Va. By the other ones, by a stone, by a piece of wood, it uses the expression Asher Yomus Va, that he would die from. Meaning, as we're going to learn later on in the parak, Beis Din has to look at the murder weapon and see, is this something that would have been expected to kill this person? If not, if you have, for example, a light piece of wood, that you couldn't expect under normal circumstances to kill a person,
yeah.
And somehow it did, he would be positive because you couldn't have expected that it would kill.
Right.
Mashen from the Barzal, no such thing.
Any amount of buffalo.
However,
however, that only applies if you stabbed him with the Barzal. If you hit him, if you took him up there, lead pipe, and hit him over the head, then Barzal is
the same as anything
that's
else. You need to see the size of it and the force that was applied and whatever, and figure out whether it was likely to kill. Then the Mishnah said, "Vekavash olav l'sechamayim." Then the Mishnah said two cases. One is he held him down in the water and he can't get out. We said that the guy is chayev. On the other hand, if he pushed him into the water and he could have gotten out by himself, then he's potter. So the Gemara says, "Reishir abusa kamash malon, sefer abusa kamash malon."
Both cases of the Mishnah are telling us a chiddush. Reishir abusa kamash malon. The first part is a chiddush. Reishir abusa kamash malon. The first part is telling us a chiddush as follows. I forgot the lob ear dog, right? Even if it's not, the person himself pushed him in. So Reuben pushed
Shimon in, and now it's Levi going and holding Shimon's head underwater. So you could argue, I'm not the one to put him in the water in the first place. If it hadn't been for Reuben, he wouldn't be in a dangerous situation. Kivendain, Yochalalus Misham Bames, but since you, Levi, held down his head and prevented him from getting out, Chayev, then you're still Chayev, even though you're not the one who pushed him in the first place. Sefer Rabbul Sigmash Mulan, and the Sefer is also teaching us a Chiddush. I forgot the dog, but even if Levi himself was the one who pushed him in. Kivin Yochalalus Misham, since Shimon would have been able to get out of there on his own, Umes, and yet he ended up dying, Potter, then Levi is still Potter, even though he's the one who pushed him in, because Shimon could have gotten
out. That's only if he's able to get
out. That's what we're saying, he's able to get out.
Right.
Yeah.
If he pushes him with such force that he gets knocked out.
Yeah, obviously. That's what we said, Cheney.
He's able to get out.
The question is, Kavash Manolam, where do we know this concept that if a person holds somebody down in the water, he should be silent? It's not mentioned in the Pasuk again in Maaseh in all the various ways that it mentions of killing a person, doesn't mention such a thing. Amar Shmuel, it does. Because the Pasuk says, Oy be'eva, the Pasuk says, or with hatred he killed him, Lulaba says, Samatamsen. That comes to include somebody who's Matamsen, somebody who put somebody into a confined situation, who confined him. Matamsen means that he confined him in a place where he can't breathe. We can't breathe. We suffocated him. This is including underwater. So the Gemara tells a case, first involving Mizikin, not Mitzah.
Ahu Gavr de Mitzamsim al
Gavr de Kipsha. It happened once that a person did that to somebody else's animal. He confined it in a place where it was exposed to the sun. The Shimsha is in the sun. Mitzamsim means that he confined it in a confined area, so it was exposed to the heat of the sun. Or Mesa, and the animal died. Ravina Machaya. Ravina says he's higher for the Nezik. Rav Acha Barav Potter. Rav Acha Barav said he's Potter.
Wow.
Ravina Machayev says he's Kavachomer. Umar Retzeach, so like also the Shogig Kamezid. Madach, when it comes to a Retzeach, a Shogig is not punishable the same way as a Mezid. But Onus Kerotzen, and if you killed somebody, but Onus, you're not Chayev as you would be if you did it for Rotzen, and yet for your voice on a Samson, and we're saying that you're Chayev if you confine somebody in a place where you can't get out, only amazing. Nezikin, Sha'asaban, Shogig, Kamezid, Ba'onis, Kerotin. So when it comes to Nezikin, where you chayev for Nezikin, even if it was B'Shogig, or even if it was Ba'onis, because an Adam Mur La'olam, a person is chayev for any kind of Nezikin he did, even if it was Ba'onis, even if it was whatever, Ein Adinshi, Chayev Ba'onis HaMetamsim. How much more so you should be chayev for this Metamsim, for confining the animal over there?
The Nezik being here.
The Nezik being that the animal died from the heat. On the other hand, of Achabarav Poiter, Omer of Mesharshia, my time of Davu or the Abba the Potter, what is the reason of my father's father, of Achabar Rav, was Rav Mesharshia's grandfather? Why does he Potter? Omer Kruf, because the Potter says, Moit Yumas Hamaka Retehu, because the Potter says also over there in Maaseh, the one who hits the other person shall be killed, he is a Retehach, which is the end of the same Potter that began Oy Be'eva, that we just quoted before, that we said Oy Be'eva taught us some Tzatzim. Therefore, we learn from that. Re'etzeach, hold him a chayev on the tzamtzim. Only by re'etzeach do you have the concept of tzamtzim as chayev, v'nezikin lo chayev on the tzamtzim. Whereas when it comes to nezikin, you're not chayev near from a tzamtzim. You're only chayev if you actually directly injured or killed the animal. In this case, it was kind of an indirect thing. You were a tzamtzim, you prevented the animal from leaving, and therefore the sun beat down on it and ended up dying. But it wasn't as a direct thing. And the meal to the pasuk, most yuvas hamaske, teaches us that even though you would make a kavach chaymer, no, you don't make that kavach chaymer. It only applies to it.
The
mere being or that it says retzeach, most yuvas hamaske, retzeach. He is a retzeach. It's an animal. He's not a retzeach. Yeah.